This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
I believe in societal norms.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing. Don't scream at me on the show.
Don't defend him.
It was horrifying.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's Andrew Gundling.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt.
That's right. It's Andrew Gundling on ENN here tonight on this December 21st, a Tuesday, as we close in on Christmas and New Year's. That's right. That's right. We start out this ENN tonight by saying hello to Peter.
Oh, no. And there goes Ryan Rucco.
Let's say hi to Chris Carlin as well.
Peter really leaned in, and I just jumped on top of him.
And finally, let's say hi to our earlier guest, Buck Showalter.
Professor of the truth.
That is going to be insufferable.
He will love that nickname.
Yeah, he will. I tell you.
Kaster, the professor of the truth.
On TV.
He is going to rip the back off of that and slap it square on his naked chest.
Well, let's start with the man who authored that drop.
Professor of the truth.
And that's Buck Showalter, who was introduced earlier today, officially. They now have hired their second most experienced manager ever. Buck's been manager for 20 seasons. Only care to guess who the Mets hired that was more experienced than that?
Go ahead.
Peter, this one has some history with you.
Casey Stengel?
There you go.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, okay. Of course. What am I thinking? I'm thinking of Bobby V and Dallas Green. How do I not think of Casey Stengel?
Well, I didn't either when I first heard about him.
No. Let's see. Here's Billy Epler talking about the decision to go with Buck.
Starting this interview process a few weeks back, we sought to look at a variety of candidates from various backgrounds and experience levels. We looked at a number of criteria, you know, spanning from culture and connectivity with players and staff to embracing new practices in both player performance and analytics. We wanted to assess how the candidates problem solved, how they communicated, and most importantly, how they would shape a culture with high operational standards. While the candidates that we talked to clearly made this a tough decision, and frankly, I feel good about the future of on-field baseball leadership, it was Buck's ability to connect to a wide range of people, his drive to compete, his curiosity blended with his experience, and his overall adaptability that led us to naming him manager of the New York Mets.
Look, I think this is, we all agree. This is one of those things where it's very difficult to be against the hiring. The only thing I keep coming back to is, and it still wouldn't keep me from hiring him, don't get me wrong. He hasn't been in this situation before. He's been good at building things up and then getting him to a certain point. But then you've always needed somebody else to take it over the top. Now you're in a situation where you're handed something that's, you know, there's a good amount of talent there. So what can you turn that into now? Can you turn that into a champion? We'll see.
I'm excited about this.
I don't take it as a given, that's all.
No, I mean, a championship is never a given, and certainly even being championship caliber, that level is not a given, but it's just the perfect hire. He is so appealing and such a smart, normal, doesn't have any of the annoying airs of leadership. I just think it's instantly an upgrade, sheerly for the personality. And let's to your point earlier, Chris, let's not overuse the word culture a million times. Just the sort of attitude that you will have. Let's be honest. The Mets aren't great in a front-facing way. They never have been. Their PR was bad. They do stupid things like don't let their players come on our show. They've historically made a lot of poor decisions in that regard. Just having him as your most front-facing person is an upgrade alone, period.
Agreed. Now, this would go to a conversation that Andrew and I had off the air, but what is wrong with me that now that it is so universally loved across the board, that there is a part of me that wants to see a crash and burn?
You have the contrarian gene.
Even a contrarian gene, because I don't want to just be a contrarian. I want to see other people in pain.
So you're a bad person.
Yeah, it's more you're a bad guy.
I'd rather you called me a horrible guy than to say I was a contrarian on purpose.
No, never that. You are just a bad guy.
Well, it's not on purpose. It's genetics. You can't help it.
Here's what I want to know. You know why? Here's what I want to know. And I'm actually not counting Michael in this group. Because it has been so universally loved by all of the media, who will be the first guy to say I was wrong? There won't be one.
If it goes poorly?
Yes.
So you're suggesting that instead of saying I was wrong, there will be other factors at play. Oh, they didn't do enough for the bullpen. He never had a chance. You know, this guy got hurt. So what did you expect from him?
None of it will be Buck's fault. Oh. That's all. See, that's what's wrong with me. I see all of society pointing in one direction, and all of a sudden I want it to go the other way.
You're such a bad guy.
But it is kind of what makes you good at this.
There is like just a little thing that now, like if I was a Giants fan right now and things are going horribly, that's okay. Because I have the Cowboys to thoroughly root against and wait for their ultimate demise.
My problem is I just don't get the joy from that I want to. Like, I'm so much more pained by my team's failure than I am satisfied by my enemy's failure.
No, I want my enemies to burn in hell. And so, yeah.
It just doesn't do it for me. Like, tonight, I just desperately want to win. And if we lose to you guys tonight, Andrew, I will just lay there in pain, soaking in that this season is likely over. And when the Cowboys invariably melt down, I may go, ha, but not the same as when you're the one to make them fail.
Well, no, you know? Of course not. And we'll use that as a jumping off point to the rare Tuesday night NFL doubleheader. Sadly, these two games are on at the same time. Which feels like a missed opportunity, especially with one of them taking place on the West Coast that it's easily could have stupid. Been.
It's a good
maybe.
Thing there's not a Mac game on. I'd be watching that instead.
Yeah, but it's Philly and Washington at 7 and Seattle and the Rams also at 7. Due to COVID absences, it'll be Garrett Gilbert at quarterback for the football team. Gilbert has played in 7 games, starting one since entering the league as a 6th-round draft pick by the Rams in 2014. Yeah. He did not make an active roster until 3 years later.
Oof, that's
now, this is a stupid question on my part, but just to verify, both of these games are going to be on nationally, correct?
No, I don't believe so. They're both Fox, and I think here in New York, we're going to be getting the Eagles-Washington game.
Really?
Yeah.
So I will not get to see, and I get why, I understand why, because they were both Sunday games, but I will not get to see the Seahawks-Rams game tonight. Like, that wouldn't be on NFL Network or something.
No, I don't believe so.
In addition
people on Twitter, double-check me, but I'm pretty sure that they're both Fox exclusively, and it's regional coverage, and I think here in New York, we're going to be getting the Eagles-Washington.
Okay. I just pulled up my AT&T or DirecTV local
on TV
broadcast, and 6:30 NFL Fox pregame, 7 o'clock the football team and the Eagles.
So Peter, what I wanted to ask you off of what you just said, how if you guys lose tonight, you'll lie in bed and you'll be angry at, you know, all the normal feelings after losing this is a really important game.
Critical.
Almost like a pseudo playoff game. It kind of feels like whoever loses this is really on the outside, especially, I'm sure you were keeping tabs, Peter, all of the results that you and I would not have wanted to happen over the past few days, they all happened. Saints won, Vikings won, Niners won. So that last wild card spot is becoming a fascinating race. But even with all of your absences, and with Garrett Gilbert as your quarterback, you will still feel crushed tonight if you lose this.
You know, it's a great question, and I couldn't be happier to answer here on the Michael Kay Show. I am one, for as much as I sort of badmouth football coaches for like their coach speak and like, we do what we do, football. I have to say, I do have a ridiculous attitude of I expect my team to win. I expect that they've done the work. And yes, they may be on a quarterback who has only been with the team for 4 or 5 days, but this is not a team that's been winning games by really throwing the ball a lot anyway. Mm-hmm. So I expect they will play great defense Antonio Gibson will run the ball well. They're also down J.D. McKissick, by the way.
That's not COVID-related, though, right? Or no, was that? He suffered the concussion.
Yeah, from the week before. I don't believe he hasn't been back since then. So, or 2 weeks ago. So I don't know if he also had a COVID setback, but I still expect them to win. You guys are certainly capable of beating us, but you also still seem like it's not like I consider the Eagles to be a special team.
Right.
So why not go out and win a game? Yes. So I will be stupidly angry.
Okay.
While also stupidly optimistic, hey, let's just go out and win a few more games, go 9-8 and still make it. So,
but, yeah, that's true. You're not actually over for whoever loses tonight. By the way, I should tell you, Garrett Gilbert nearly beat the Steelers last year when he started for Dallas. They lost 24-19. So,
I know. I did hear that.
Is that right?
And I will make one prediction for tonight based on the way these teams play. So you have essentially a fourth or even fifth string quarterback starting for you and a really good running back. The Eagles have become a pretty good team once they decided we're just going to run the hell out of the ball. This game starts at like 7:05 or so. I'm setting an over-under for the time that it's over at, let's say, 10:02. I think you might get an under 3 hour game with the amount of running these teams do. That clock will keep running and running and running.
That is an interesting take.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's also what makes me think we have a chance.
Yeah. By the way, I should mention too, the Rams, this game was pushed back to Tuesday because of all of their COVID absences. Von Miller has been activated off the COVID reserve list, so he'll be back out there tonight for LA.
Here's what's something that's, you know, there were, I mean, just think about the fact that the league had to change the way they approach this thing. Like, I had heard middle of last week when a couple of these teams started popping, that they were really already asking the league, and were getting turned down by the league, to postpone these games.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the league realized they had to reverse course pretty quickly here. The league, if you really look at it, has completely changed their COVID policy within the span of 5 days.
Yeah, and they almost admitted as much in saying that the new variant has kind of caused them to reconsider the way they were going about things, just the nature of how contagious this is.
Very subtle way of Gunling telling me way to be late to the story.
No. That's not what I meant.
I want my enemies to burn in hell.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A couple quick NBA things for you. So we'll get to the Knicks in a sec. They're in action following us against the Pistons. But the NBA Hall of Fame nominees were announced today. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to just say a name, and I don't really have stats or anything. Just your gut.
I know.
You just yes, no, and I'll even give you a maybe if you want. If you're kind
yes,
of a coward.
Yes, no, maybe. Got it. Okay.
All right.
I will not be using the maybe.
No, you don't.
All right,
you don't
fine. Neither will I. Right. I'll go yes or no too. No, I'll go
just
first.
Don't believe in it.
I'm a big maybe guy. Don't be ashamed, Peter, if you want to throw that one in there. All right, ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
First one, Manu Ginobili. Oh, come on.
Yes,
definitely.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was waiting on Peter.
Don't influence us, Andrew.
Peter, you go first.
But
on
that
home.
Was supposed to be the easy one. Now,
okay.
All right. Next, Tom Chambers.
No.
No.
Chauncey Billups.
Yes.
No.
I say yes.
Yeah, of course you do, because you're smart.
Rip Hamilton.
Yes.
No.
I say no. But that's an interesting one.
He's right on the line.
The Basketball Hall of Fame has become the Hall of Very Good.
No, stop yourself. Again, a classic negative Nancy Chris Carlin take.
All right. No, I'm
keep
sorry
going.
If
keep
I put, set a certain standard to be great. If you want to take average to be your standard, that's awesome and evident.
Now, I'll keep going a second. Rip Hamilton was not average. He's better than that, but I don't think he's quite Hall of Fame.
You know what? Can I go back? I'm going to agree with you. I think Rip is just short.
Okay.
I have fond memories of him in the start of his career in Washington and obviously the role he played in Detroit, but I'm going to agree with you. He is short.
Sean Marion.
Who I love the Matrix. The best nickname in the history of sports.
Great nickname.
It was for too short a period. So
yeah, he's short to me, no.
Tough one here, maybe. Tim Hardaway.
Yes.
Remember the part where I said I would
that on other guys that are in it? Yes.
I remember when you said I would go first, but I will go. I will go yes as well.
I think he is. Five-time All-Star, five-time All-NBA selection. That's big.
Not to mention Sean Marion with the all-time best nickname, Tim Hardaway with the all-time best name in the UTEP two-step.
Ooh, that is good. Muggsy Bogues?
No, stop yourself. But he was amazing. And growing up as a kid in Washington when they had Manute Bol and Muggsy Bogues was a special time.
Probably a lot of good posters.
They were such a kid friendly team. It was ridiculous.
And then last one here. This is a tough one. Mark Jackson.
Oh, if you're gonna, can we factor in the broadcasting part of it? Like, are you gonna take the whole package?
Is that factored in? I don't think that is. I don't think he's going into the broadcasting wing. I think this is as a player.
No, I know it wouldn't go into the brain wing, so to speak. But like, if I were to tie it all together,
I mean, I don't know if you want to tie in that he was his coaching might get tied in.
Yeah. Okay. But he wasn't even that great as a coach. He was good. I would say no. But barely, no.
I'm with Chris. He's just short. And he's, man, he had a long, productive career. The problem is he never scored. He was always an assist guy. He only led the league in assists once. He's just short to me.
It's hard for me. I like Mark Jackson. He's great. But it's hard for me to envision a one-time All-Star being a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that
I know that sounds harsh, but... But the other weird thing with him is he's one of six players with more than 10,000 assists. You know who the others are? Stockton, Kidd, Chris Paul, Steve Nash, and Magic Johnson. And him, and Mark Jackson.
Wow.
And so that kind of complicates
it. Going.
Right. He's like all first ballot locks.
Yeah, but that's like, I can always make it say something to work in a guy's favor. And right. That feels like one of those.
I mentioned this before. Knicks in action tonight. You can hear it here following us on 98.7 ESPN New York. Pistons have lost seven straight on the road, 1-9 in their last 10. But the Knicks, not much better, 2-8 in their last 10. Here's who the Knicks will be without tonight. McBride, Toppin, Barrett, Knox, Rose, Quickly, and Grimes.
So, holy crap.
Yeah, so this means Kemba.
That's Kemba time, baby.
Will start. Yeah.
Yes. Here's what we're all missing, though, and aside from all of the COVID things, okay, with the real problem with the Knicks this year, you know, Kemba on the bench, they're 2-7. So let's not make it out like all of a sudden it's been a whole lot better. The biggest issue for the Knicks is Julius Randle. Julius Randle has just not been anywhere close to what he was last year, and he's not shooting the three nearly as well. He's not performing at the level that he did. It was a career year, and now he is back to being what he is, a low-end two, a high-end number three player on a good team. And I saw the numbers today, too, in the post. Like, they're better offensively without him on the floor, and they're better defensively without him on the floor. At least so far, that's what the numbers say.
Yeah, I mean, they got superstar-level production from Julius Randle last season, which was amazing and is a credit to him.
Let's be clear, it's not a knock on them for signing him either, because it's not like they gave him a max contract. You know, like he's getting $20 million a year or whatever it is, and for 4 years, which is not a horrible contract. It's just, as we were talking about earlier with Ryan, they haven't put themselves in a spot where when the guy becomes available, they can't go get him.
Right. Let's see. Staying with the NBA, Adam Silver spoke today about the NBA and how they're handling the current COVID outbreak. He was on ESPN with Malika Andrews on NBA Today. He was asked if they're planning on pausing like the NHL has.
No plans right now to pause the season. We've, of course, looked at all the options, but frankly, we're having trouble coming up with what the logic would be behind pausing right now as we look through these cases. We're literally ripping through the country right now, putting aside the rest of the world. I think we're finding ourselves where we sort of knew we were going to get to for the past several months, and that is that this virus will not be eradicated, and we're going to have to learn to live with it, and I think that's what we're experiencing in the league right now.
I mean, listen, it is what it is. This, I'm not surprised by this. I think it's what most businesses have decided is the way. we're just going to have to power forward and hope for the best and make the best decisions we can. And the NBA has so far been pretty good at that since the beginning. So
yeah. Now, the NBA's big day, of course, like the way the NFL owns Thanksgiving, the NBA owns Christmas Day. He was asked if there's any contingency plans for Christmas.
We'd need to talk for a few hours to talk about the contingencies. So, yes, I mean, I would say beginning from the day we initially shut down the league, you know, in March of 2020, we've done nothing but look at contingencies. So, of course, we always have those. But at least as of now, our plan is to move forward, not just for the Christmas Day games, but there are another roughly 23 games scheduled between now and Christmas. And, you know, every day is a new day. We get the overnight testing. We look where we are in terms of our rosters and make our decisions. But at least, as I said, it seems for us that the right and responsible thing to do, taking all the factors into consideration, is to continue to play.
Yeah, he's right.
Listen, it's all they can do right now. And I'm glad that we're at a point where at least you're just going to try to power through it. And they realize what this is, okay? It's highly transmittable, but the players who are vaccinated and boosted and all of that are more likely to not feel a ton of the effects. So right. let's go, and we'll deal with a couple of games. What really would be a problem, like I absolutely believe, Peter, that if we were in the playoffs right now and this was happening, they might hit pause because they don't want the playoff games getting decided without certain guys on the floor.
Right, right. But the timing of this feels like it'll probably affect them throughout the middle part of the season. We'll probably miss out on All-Star. I could see All-Star being canceled again.
Oh.
That's going to be interesting, right? Because they've been planning on All-Star the whole time in Cleveland, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been planning on it the whole time, but I don't know, Andrew, couldn't you see them potentially pulling the plug on that?
Maybe. That would be sad for me. NBA All-Star Weekend has always been kind of my like weird, underrated favorite sports weekend of the year.
Oh, it's amazing. Come on.
Like I know so much of it feels like it's for kids, kind of, but I don't know. I still just like, I still love that weekend.
But
can't help it.
It's amazing for two different reasons for the two of you. Peter's probably going to NBA All-Star Weekend. He played in the celebrity game at least once, or how many times you played?
Well, I played once, and then I've done color commentary for the celebrity game the last
right.
2 years.
He's hitting on TV. All the clubs and the parties and everything with it, Gunling. We're sitting at home watching it, and you're getting locked in on the skills competition.
By the way,
well,
that's not necessarily
my go-to.
Hold no, on. It is underrated not, fun, though.
You can't get all wrapped up in Donovan Mitchell dribbling around a cone?
You're too reductive.
You know what it is for Andrew? What really gets him excited, it's the chest pass into the net.
Love that part.
Loves the chest
pass. It's a great camera angle, too. The
ball's the angle's
right
beautiful.
You can tell
right
away. You can tell right away if it's going in or not. Underrated.
The NBA, my favorite sport to watch mid-game, you know, first quarter through the fourth quarter is football. But when it comes to doing every little thing around the game right, no one's as good as the NBA.
Yeah.
No one.
Last one here. This is kind of a random one, but on this day in 1997, I thought you could have some fun with this.
Here we go.
I'm not even going to have you guess. Barry Sanders became the third member of the 2,000-yard rushing club in a single season. Here's what it sounded like.
The Jets in the Lions end zone, and Barry Sanders is over 2,000 yards on that carry out across the 40. 2,000, the third man in NFL history.
Is that the great Merle Olsen?
It's the great Dick Enberg.
Dick Enberg.
Yeah, you could hear there that Jet fans will obviously remember this. He did it against the Jets in Detroit.
Not what you want.
So he became the third. Five others have joined since. There's seven total in the club. Or, I'm sorry, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You have Barry Sanders.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
No.
We have Chris Johnson.
That's right. That's the tough one. Good job.
Wait, Tomlinson came. Well, I guess he had like 1,800. I don't know how I mess that up every time. Priest Holmes?
No.
Derek, did you say Derek Henry?
Derek Henry, of course.
He's one.
Yeah, of course.
OJ.
Yep.
Any other moderns?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
AP?
AP, yep.
AP, yep.
Okay.
How many we got left?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3 left. I'd say one older, two modern would be strong, but not
Emmitt Smith?
No.
No.
Chuck Muncy.
No.
Frank Harris.
No, and no to Hospodar.
No Hospodar either.
That's a tough Luis one. Oosterhuizen.
Also no.
No, that's not even how you say his name.
All right, so should I tell you?
Wait. Hold on. Real quick.
You will be annoyed.
That's what I'm saying.
These are gettable. We can't sit here all night, though.
Well, we can.
Larry Johnson?
No.
No, it's not Larry. Okay, it's not Priest Holmes. It's not Larry Johnson.
It's not a chief.
Wait, Chris and I insist it's a chief.
It's Christian Okoye.
Oh, he's great. What about Barry Word?
Nigerian nightmare, Christian Okoye.
We said, by the way, Okoye was great. Let's not laugh.
He was. Hold on. Absolutely.
We have Derrick Henry. We have Chris Johnson. We have Barry Sanders. We have AP. And you said two relatively modern.
Yeah, relatively.
Walter Payton do it?
No.
You said you have
I have to tell you, I'm looking at the clock and the producer in me is, my skin is crawling.
Can you give me a hint?
We're way past the clock time.
One of the guys who did it played for a team in your city.
He played for a team in my city.
Not New York, not D.C.
Do you mean Baltimore?
Yeah.
Jamal Lewis?
Yes, very good.
By the way, not my city. I don't know how
that
you
is your
said that.
Town.
I should slap your face for saying that.
That is. Well, it's important.
Okay, last hint.
The other guy, I kind of know him as a running back who wore goggles.
Eric Dickerson.
Yes, right.
Damn it! Son of a gun! I could have done it!
And then last one, Hall of Famer. There are some people who think, I think he's a definite Hall of Famer, but some people think he didn't play enough years.
Jim Brown.
No.
Well, everybody thinks
Jabroni Pumpleduck.
I think he went to Georgia.
Herschel Walker.
No.
Didn't play enough years.
Won two Super Bowls.
Yes.
Oh, Terrell Davis.
There you go. We did it. And that will do it for ENN on this Tuesday night.
I could play that game all day
by
long.
By the way, that Jet-Lion game was that debacle in Parcells' first year, too. Don't leave that out.
Cray cray, as the kids say.
Last game of the year.
That was beautiful, Andrew.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.